In author Annie Hartnett's second novel, Unlikely Animals, natural-born healer Emma Starling once had big plans for her life, but she's lost her way. A med school dropout, she's come to small-town Everton, New Hampshire, to care for her father, dying from a mysterious brain disease. Clive Starling has been hallucinating small animals as well as visions of the ghost of a long-dead naturalist, Ernest Harold Baines, once known for letting wild animals live in his house. This ghost has been giving Clive some ideas on how to spend his final days. Annie Hartnett is the author of Rabbit Cake, which came out in 2017. The new novel is Unlikely Animals, and it's a great pleasure to welcome Annie Hartnett to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm so happy to be here.
Really nice to have you on the program. Of course, your first novel was Rabbit Cake, came out in 2017. Now, Unlikely Animals. What is it like to work on the second book?
The second book is famously fraught, and I think for a lot of good reasons. You know, in the first book, you don't worry about what people think of you because you have no idea what people think of you. So I had a lot of trouble finding the thing that made the second book as much fun as the first one was. But once I found the sort of inspiration for the book, it finally got that, I got the magic back. So it was a fun book to write in the end.
We read about Emma Starling. Tell us a little bit about Emma and how that sets up the story that unfolds in Unlikely Animals.
So the book is about a young woman named Emma Starling who comes home to take care of her dying father who is suffering from this mysterious brain disease. And he is hallucinating small animals. And it's also about this small town that they live in, which is based on a real town. And I was driving around this real town, Newport, New Hampshire. It's that fictional town in the book. But driving along this road in New Hampshire, forested road, and then I look up and there's this enormous yellow mansion, and I find that it's built by a Gilded Age millionaire who had built this mansion, and then behind it he fenced in 26,000 acres of farmland. He bought up all this land from farmers and shipped in animals from all over the world. And then as I keep digging and digging and going to the Historical Society to find everything I can about this place, I find out about Ernest Harold Baines, who was a real naturalist at the edge of the park. He lived there from 1904 till his death in 1925. And he had animals living in his house. I love animals. He had a fox. He had a bear. He had wolves. But I was writing a book that was set in 2014 because that's, sort of, I like dark comedy. I like sort of Wes Anderson situations. So Ernest Harold Baines, the real Dr. Dolittle character, who's a real historical figure, showed up as a ghost in the book. And that's when the book got really fun to write.
And that ghost starts giving Clive Starling some ideas of how to spend those final days of his life.
Yeah, so Clive Starling is the father in the book, the one that the young woman is coming home to care for, and he is hallucinating, but he's also developed what is a real friendship with this ghost. And Ernest Harold Baines has his own opinions about, you know, how if Clive's got a year left to live, here's some things he might want to do before he enters the next realm. So it's a very funny book. They get into a lot of sort of hairy situations.
I love the book because it is just filled with these unforgettable characters, both living and dead. And that's fascinating. I would think that once you have, as you said, once you figure that out, it becomes tremendous fun.
Yeah, this book, and I think my writing in general, I try to delight in creating the situations and the characters. So I don't necessarily relate to writers who have just miserable times writing their books. And I think it depends on what you're writing about, and I can see why people might feel that way. But I do subscribe more to the Stephen King said something like, you know, it's a bad writing day is still like the best day at the playground or something.
Right.
I'm paraphrasing, but that's how I feel about it.
The idea, and you touched on this, but I find it fascinating that you're working on something else, on a very different novel, and then you come across this real thing and this house, and you think, oh, okay, this is where I need to go now.
Yeah, my first novel had this sort of magic first-person narrator, this wonderful voice, and so I loved writing that. I loved writing Rabbit Cake. And I was working on the second book. I wanted to write a coming-home story about a young woman who was coming home to take care of her father, but it lacked sort of all the excitement that I had about the first. And At first I was sort of confused, that I thought, you know, this is how it is, that the first cut is the deepest, and I'll never feel that way, that sort of intense love and obsession. So I was working on it, making myself do it, and just not as, just didn't feel the love for it until I stumbled across this mention and then found Ernest Harold Baines. And that's when all the fun came back for me. And I realized, okay, sometimes I just have to be patient with myself in order to get, the good idea or the thing that sets me on fire. Once I had a ghost who was a real life person who had animals living in his house, it went pretty well from there.
You're off to the races at that point. What is it about Baines that is so fascinating to you, do you think?
He's got all this mythology about his life. When he was in boarding school, he went to boarding school in England. He was always in trouble for having a hedgehog in his pocket. So he was born with this magical ability with animals that you see a lot in some fiction or children's stories, but he really could go up to a skunk's burrow and take the babies from the mother skunk and then, you know, cuddle them and give them back, and the mother skunk would do nothing. So I just love those stories, and that he tamed foxes, and that he raised a bear from a cub. And then the bear got to be too much to handle. So the bear did go to live in the zoo. He was not without limits, that he, at some point, even an adult bear was too much for Ernest Harold Baines. But another thing I loved about him was that as I'm, you know, poking around this real town at the Historical Society in the library, is that I asked the librarian, do you know anything about Ernest Harold Baines? He died in 1925. And someone from across the library in this town, not part of my conversation, just said, oh, yeah, Baines was quite the womanizer. Wow. As though we were talking about someone who still lived in the town. So I just love that about sort of small towns, is that the history lives on. And that is so much what I play with in this book, about a small town that where the past is still very much alive.
And there's a wonderful eccentricity there that then goes really through Clive in some way, right? That ultimately Emma has to deal with.
Yeah, so Clive has sort of this portal to the afterlife, but it's also narrated, the book is narrated from the cemetery in the town. It's got this Our Town vibe. It was very much inspired by Thornton Wilder's Our Town. So it's about the small town and about this one family and about Emma and her father, Clive. But the ghosts in the cemetery are telling the whole story, and they know everything that goes on in the town. And they are able to sort of tell you what is Clive's confusion, and when is he really, like, he can really see the ghost, but no one else and no one living can really see that the ghost is there. So it's very playful. And a lot of fun. Clive is my favorite character. He is sort of based on my own father, who's a big personality, my friend's father, who was he's an eccentric environmental studies professor, and then he's got a little Willie Nelson and Ozzy Osbourne in there. So he's a bunch of people. He's a retired poetry professor who's in a Black Sabbath cover band called Black Sabbath, and a heavy drinker who's hallucinating animals. So he's one of my favorite characters I think I'll ever write.
That packs a lot in, doesn't it, Annie?
Mm-hmm.
The name of the new novel is Unlikely Animals. It is published by Ballantine Books. Annie Hartnett, thank you very much for being with us. We wish you all the luck in the world with the novel. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This is great.
Be well. Thank you. Again, the name of the book is Unlikely Animals, a novel. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.